The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Pastor Mike, good afternoon. Welcome to Man in Line on Manx Radio. Just a bit of housekeeping. Remember, the mountain road is closed until at least 4:30 today while the two-way traffic system is being reinstated. Of course, it's been one way for the duration of TT. So access to the bungalow is available by a faulty will and the Snaefell Mountain Railway from Blacksea. Meanwhile, the Craig's still accessible via the Douglas Onken bit or the Craignabar back road. So just be aware of that, what's happening. Interesting to tell that this story about the fact that the planters apparently are getting raided in Port Erin. Seems a strange thing to do, why anybody would quite want to do that, but it's all happening. For the third time in as many days, the flowers from the planters at Port Erin Railway Station have been plucked from their pots and thrown on the platform. For some people, it seems like harmless fun. There's a post on Facebook about this, but money for all of us isn't going as far as they'd like. Somebody's paid for those plants. Somebody's paid to plant them. Now they've had to be replanted three times, so the railway station looks nice. Why would anybody do that? Why would anybody think that's their impact on the world, to take flowers from a planter and throw them on the... Flowers make the place look nicer, don't they? So to those deconstruction gardeners, time is money. So if you would desist from that. But maybe if you gave the money back for the flowers, that'd be even better. David's first with us today. Hi, David.
Hi, Randy. I was just listening to the programme last night on the Agenda programme with Phil Gorn regarding the Housing Board. So the quick question is, and there's others as well, is why won't he come on Manx Radio and have a proper interview with the people of the Isle of Man? Because I thought Phil was really, and I'm going to say it, slack, ask probing questions on how much is the board costing us? Who are they? They were talking about they're getting loads of money from Lloyds Bank. But don't forget, that's our money. That's the taxpayers' money. And he was talking about, if you listen to the programme too, sometimes these projects may have a 30-year return. Well, I won't be here then. So I'm just wondering, what does the return going to be for us, for the nurses' home?
Yeah, I mean, I listened to the programme last night, and anybody can listen back to it if you go to the podcast or go to listen again. He was there with Dane Harrop talking about it. And I mean, it sounds great in principle, the fact that they're, if you like, taking care of government-owned brownfield sites to develop them. And you just wonder, A, why has it never been done before? Why does it take the Manx Development Corporation to do it? Why hasn't nobody ever thought about it before? Particularly, of course, with private developments, they're handing out partial incentives to do them as well. And as you say, what's the benefit to all this?
Well, that's it. They don't even know whether they're going to be, the nurses' home is going to be rented, we're going to sell them, or what, or whether you can have a car, or you've got to have an electric bike. All these questions, I think, need to be tossed around a bit, and just say that, don't forget, there are two ministers on that particular board as well, which is the Treasury Minister and the guy from the Enterprise Department there. So why can't we get Freedom of Information requests in there to say what's going on, how are the projects tested out, do they go for competitive tenders, how can we see their competitive tenders, and are they asking Isle of Man companies, or are Isle of Man companies now, and people who want to develop, like down at the harbour, the Newsome site, whatever, are they at a disadvantage because planning is always going to say yes to them, or planning would probably never say no to them, and we never know what's in the public domain and how this is going to work for us as the taxpayer or the benefit of lending our money to this particular company.
Just go back to around the 2021 general election, when one of the buzzwords was transparency. You couldn't move.
Well, yeah.
You couldn't move for the word transparency and the fact that everything had to be transparent. Government was going to be transparent, and yet here you have a government-owned company that is anything but transparent. And, you know, it's very nice that Mr. Harrop did the interview with Phil Gorn. He's done various pieces. But the fact is, I mean, their website is available. You can see mdc.im. It shows you who the team are behind it all and what they do. But the trouble is, it's almost as though, and, you know, these are Manx people who understand, if you don't tell people what the news is, people will sometimes make it up. And that skeet will just fill the vacuum.
They talked about all the other sites that say government ownership. And it's only in government ownership because we're not developing it at the minute. There's loads of them, isn't there? The old prison site, the school, a couple of pubs. We go on and on. Summerland, that was a good one. He couldn't even tell us what the issues were to do with Summerland. But they've had somebody in to look at them, and they've got the pros and cons on them. And I'd like to find out what's the pros and cons on all the land that we've got in custodial for the Isle of Man government, which used to be, there used to be a department which had various plots of land which were development, and they used to invite tenders from contractors, builders, and we used to keep the economy going. But I don't see it with this. And the item that was on the agenda, he used, in my opinion, Phil, if he's listening, old clips from Manx Radio. He was telling us the old story. What we need to know is the new story and what is the truth behind all these developments and what order are they in and where do we have a say?
It'd be interesting to know, wouldn't it?
And why won't he come on Manx Radio and talk to you?
Well, I'll send him another email. David, I don't want to appear impolite, but I've emailed Mr. Harrop several times. He has yet to return an email to me.
Well, that's terrible. That's nothing worse than just snubbing you and snubbing the Manx people, the people out there. I mean, maybe they'll say to me, oh, I'm waffling on about this, but at the end of the day, we've got all this land which is should be developed. And are we going to pick the right ones? I'm not quite sure what they're going to do. And let's have some openness and transparency on it. Okay, mate.
All right. Thanks for calling today. By the way, so 14 minutes past 12. Well, we'll see what happens. As I say, if you want to take a look at the Manx Development Corporation, their website is mdc.am. You can see all the members of the team, Mr. Harrop, Laura Jones, Sean Gilbert, David Peach, Karen Mayer, Lara Swales and Claire Pullen, they're all there and presumably all getting paid, all getting a salary, which is fine. But the Manx Development Corporation is an arm's length company to develop government owned land. Principally at the moment, it is the nurse's home, the old nurse's home on Kensington Road, and then subsequently that Kensington Road, Domain Road, Westmoreland Road site, which is going to be a new development, a new and exciting development. As yet, the good news has yet to reach Man in Line, but I'd be more than happy for members of Manx Development Corporation to come on Man in Line. When is the hospitality organisation going to realise that we have too many outlets for our population? In my days, if you wanted a pint, you went to a pub, or a meal, you went to a restaurant or a cafe. Now, everybody's doing the same thing. We have pubs doing food, restaurants doing lots of alcohol. Every shop, it seems, sells alcohol. So perhaps they're just dividing the cake too many ways. Terry Kay on 469. Also, thanks to Gloria, who says much the same thing. Again, they all talk about hospitality, but obviously, surely when you create a hospitality venue, you know what you're doing. You know exactly how much to pay people, how much it's going to cost you, how much potentially you're going to get. So surely everybody who goes into hospitality knows the risk. We are... At the moment, our news team at Manx Radio is contacting Manx Care because we've had several messages into Manx Radio, and one of them is typically Sue, who dropped a note into Manx Radio just to say, Sue on 359 said, don't want to cause any alarm, but a friend of ours who came to the TT has just been to Spain and managed to give 5 out of 7 of us the COVID. Seems to be very contagious. Might it be a good idea that people should be a bit vigilant? Symptoms include a metallic taste, fever, sneezing, fatigue, loss of appetite, headache, aching joints, diarrhea. Oh dear. It seems that the people who've had the most recent jabs have fared the best, says Susan. That's Susan's noted regarding that. Well, if ever COVID was going to be spread, we've had about another 50,000 people on the Isle of Man in the past 2 weeks. So if it were ever to rear its ugly old head again, then we'll see. If you've got anything to report where that's concerned, then please tell us. The proposal to remove the bishop's vote in Tynwald is set to make its first appearance in Ledgeco, where MLCs will begin scrutinising the clause. The Isle of Man is a Christian territory. The majority of its population identifies with Christianity, closely followed by those who are atheist. Now, previous attempts to remove the bishop from Tynwald altogether failed to gain traction in political settings, but have subsequently been revised. Obviously, there's one in at the moment to withdraw the vote from the bishop. That's going to be decided, or going to be discussed certainly by MLCs today. So the vote of the bishop is back on the, even though we do have a now bishop, a new bishop, of course, Trisha, our new bishop, will be taking up the post in September. But if you've got any thoughts on this, we've been through this several times before, but on mature reflection, if you come to any sort of conclusion, then it'd be nice to hear from you. During a recent bulletin on Manx Radio, it was said Douglas Council stated that they haven't received any complaint regarding the parking at the grandstand. I found this astounding, so I'll start you off, says Keith. I'm a wheelchair user. We visited the grandstand last week, but found the blue badge parking had been more than halved compared with previous years. We were informed that VIP parking has taken most of the area and that people with mobility issues had previously used. As a result, we had to park right at the bottom of the field, almost level with the park entrance. I need my car door fully open to enter and exit, and asked the marshal if he could make sure I had enough space when I returned to the car. He said he'd try, but couldn't guarantee it, so we actually parked even further away and hoped nobody parked close to us. Fortunately, I've got a powered adaption so that I can attach to my chair, and I was able to get into the fan zone. Without that, I couldn't have managed. We would just turn round and left. As I passed the marshal in my wheelchair, I said, I bet you're getting some grief about this. He confirmed that he'd spoken to many angry people and added, These are the marshal's words, via Keith, by the way. It's the incompetent idiots who make the decisions without thinking them through, but us lot that get the grief. End of quote. On leaving, another marshal at the exit was apologetic and said it's ridiculous. There's still some disabled parking spaces at the top end, but not much. If you come again, you're going to have to be there very early to get one. The problem's more easily solved. We'll keep our money in our pockets and we just won't go back. So I'd like to formally record this as a complaint and pass it to the relevant department. That's Keith, who's copied me in on a note that he sent through to the council. So why was the decision taken, says Keith, to allocate VIP parking at the expense of accessible parking? What, if any, consideration was given to people who've got mobility restrictions when planning parking in Nobles Park for TT 2025? Whether a review will lead to a change in a policy for 2025's TT, well, we wait and hope that adequate accessible parking will be available. Thank you, Keith, for that. It'll be nice to know if any other people with mobility issues had a problem. Thanks also to, there shouldn't need to be a Freedom of Information Act for government-run businesses, says Des. They work for us. Information should be available, says Des. Well, they may have to alter the, it's just that they apparently have to include the companies in. So the steam packet's not in. Obviously, the Manx Meats is not in. And at the moment, the Manx Development Corporation is not in. And more messages coming through as well, including regarding everybody's, I don't know whether you've spotted, but some of the webcams aren't working. And we've had to get notes after notes after note about people saying, when are the webcams going to be repaired? The ones you're referring to aren't Manx Radio webcams. They're Department of Infrastructure webcams. Because apparently, Texter 552 said the two bikers have been going around the roundabout by the C terminal for nearly 2 weeks. It's not. It's just an old. The webcam has frozen. They're not quite round to it as well. The situation at the Isle of Man Airport, I think, just needs to be resolved. Says this correspondent. It's Barry who just says, bring back the tickets, please. We haven't yet heard how much money is going to the company that runs the app, this app that's down at the airport in the car park. So we're basically exporting money from the Isle of Man for parking in our own car park. Surely they can organise a ticket barrier or something on the Isle of Man. There are many clever people on the Isle of Man. Why don't we get a Manx app so all the money stays on the Isle of Man? Government's got a technology department. Why can't they do that? They'll know how much money is being paid because they'll have a contract with the company that runs the app. So surely that in the end will make money for us. We just have our own app if we're going to have an app, but just keep it on the Isle of Man. Lots of contact yesterday about smart meters and whether or not you, if you don't have one, how much it's going to cost. £45 to pay for a meter reader. We don't know whether it's a once-a-year meter reader, a half-yearly meter read, or a quarterly one. But if you know, if you've knocked back your smart meter, have you been told how much you're going to have to pay and how often? More important things to worry about than having a smart meter installed, says Peter. Electricity smart meters help suppliers manage their power distribution more effectively, apparently. My kettle is forever talking to my fridge. This is the Internet of Things. Manx Electric have enough staff to sit and keep an eye on what they're using, so surely they should have enough staff to go round and read the meters. Lots of people also talking about the parking at the airport and quite what it is and quite what's going to happen. Says Michael, this is really just symptomatic of what's going on in government. We had a perfectly serviceable car park. It's just that they had the wrong barrier for it. They introduce a parking app, export most of the money from the parking app to the company that runs it, and we get less money. Surely the government sees the sense in this. Why don't we just keep the money to ourselves? We could pay for our own app if that's what the government actually wanted to do. Text 166, 177 and WhatsApp the same number. And WhatsApp 152 has said, COVID jab doesn't stop transmission from you getting in. In fact, it's also the only a small amount actually take the COVID jab now. And if the Treasury can amend the rates to catch empty properties, why can't they do something about single-occupied properties? Why do I pay the same water, sewage and waste disposal as the next door with five people living there, says Terry. Well, that's an old chestnut, isn't it, Terry? Everything's charged on the property rather than the people. If it helps... Thank you. 083. There's a pirate ship moored in Ramsey. I don't know quite how that helps, but it's nice to know there is a pirate ship anchored in Ramsey. A quick mention this Friday that Kate Lord Brennan and Tim Crookall are going to be on the final of our constituency Man in Lines. Started them way back last year with Arbury Castle, Town and Maloo, Mr. Morehouse and Mr. Glover, and the final one with Kate Lord Brennan and Tim Crookall this Friday. So if you're in the west of the island, certainly if you're in their constituency and something you want to talk about, something you want to hear your MHK reply to, then get in touch on Friday and see what they have to say. We'll be talking about constituency matters, and there's lots of constituency matters to talk about in the west of the Isle of Man. Oh, Julian's on now. Hi, Julian.
Hi, Andy. Yeah, just listening to all this outbreaks of COVID and things. Probably a good thing to do, maybe, is just ask your doctor next time you're going in for a vitamin D test to see if you're depleted or not, because that does seem to be the one that whenever anyone looks at their blood test, it's never listed, so nobody really knows.
And apparently, it's this thing called FLIRT. Have you heard about it?
Oh, yes, this new... it's amazing. You know, I mean, before 2020... they were saying that the variants were one every sort of 20 or 30 years. It's amazing how fast these things seem to be dividing and changing, and all of a sudden, ever since 2020.
Who would have thought that viruses can mutate? Well, fancy that.
Well, exactly. I mean, you know, the beta coronavirus that this one is based on, the nearest one to it was from the Russian flu pandemic of 1895. So that's why 85% of people never even noticed whatever it is now, because it's kind of been going through the world for, however many years.
Well, I'd be really interested to know if there's anything. I mean, certainly we have, and I'll anonymise it, but we have a person within Manx Radio is at home at the moment having tested positive for COVID. But we don't know what it is, what variant it is, or what's going to happen. We're contacting Manx Care, and we'll just see what the situation is. But, I mean, if ever there was going to be anything spread, it will be during TT with thousands, tens of thousands of people.
Yeah, well, you know, post them some 4,000 IU of vitamin D. Can't be that bad, because Clear Pharmacy have got them in stock. So if they've got them in stock, and one of the grandfather of vitamin D, called Dr. Michael Hollick, measured the Maasai tribe to see what the equivalent amount of supplement they got every day being in the sunshine, and it was 25,000 IU equivalent per day being in the sunshine. So I don't think 4,000 is going to be anything except beneficial. I've just called in just to mention that at the moment our MHKs are having a chat with Dr. Ramona Coelho from London, Ontario, Canada, who is a doctor and is against the assisted dying bill. And of course, she was instrumental in a lot of the push against Bill C-7 in Canada, which I rang in some time ago to talk about. She is coming at this from a slightly different angle. About iatrogenic problems. In other words, according to the British Medical Journal and also Johns Hopkins University, in America, the third leading cause of death and the fifth leading cause of death in the world is misdiagnosis and medical mistakes. It's behind cancer and head of respiratory diseases. So she's coming from this. She has a story which she's got online at the moment, where a chap had a fall, went into hospital in Ontario and caught an infectious respiratory disease, and they offered him assisted dying. He was euthanized 48 hours later, but the post-mortem revealed he didn't have end of life lung disease, even though that was what the diagnosis was. But unfortunately, it's a bit late now for him because, he was told by the doctor, I'm afraid that's it. And he went, all right, I better go then.
Yeah.
So she's sort of looking at it from that kind of angle. I was there this morning. There's about perhaps 30, 40 people that were against assisted dying, that were outside the wedding cake.
And where do you stand? I mean, where do you stand on assisted dying, Julian? Are you for the legislation or are you against it?
I'm against it, not on the principle that there aren't people suffering, but I mean, I'm kind of an optimistic person. I think things like vitamin D, if you actually go and have a look and see how so many people are depleted on it, that's almost a pandemic, is the fact that so many people are wandering around and don't realise, being indoors all the time, even in the summer. But my biggest problem with it is, of course, is undoing the taps on it. And it's interesting that some of the MHKs are saying that they're writing this so that it can't be undone and blah, blah, blah. But an interesting kind of parallel was what happened with the Republic of Ireland. Because if you look at the 1800 Act of Union and also the reciprocal one for the UK, the word forever was put into that, saying that, Britain and Ireland would be forever together. But that was kind of forgotten about when you see the Anglo-Irish Treaty of 1921. Then you had a constitutional act in 37, and then you had the final one in 49. So, you know, very much these days, the Republic of Ireland is a separate entity, yet there was supposedly cast in stone legislation saying it will be with Britain forever. So, you know, never say never with these bits of legislation, really.
So, I mean, what would you be your answer to people who said, look, you know, the assisted dying bill is a progressive bill, and anybody who's against it wants the nanny state, and that, you know, you're telling people that they don't have control of their body, and people, people who are against the assisted dying bill should accept the legislation and just opt out of it, and just let people who want to take them advantage of it or avail themselves of the services so that they could.
But then you have these issues like Zoraya Tabeek, for example, the 29-year-old in Belgium who has autism. So there's the question mark about this capacity. And somebody texted in yesterday saying, how can we have this without a capacity act in place already? And her psychiatrist told her, I'm sorry, there's nothing we can do for you. You've got autism and depression. So she opted for it, and she's been euthanized, I think, on the 22nd of last month. So you've got a perfectly physically healthy young woman. And the same with Yolanda Fun, 34 years old, euthanized on her birthday. Again, depression, autism, psychiatrist said nothing we can do for you. And if you remember when I rang in a little while ago, Frank, he's been told by his doctor there's nothing we can do for you. I mean, I feel terribly sorry for the chap, although I'm optimistic that actually there are things that he could do that would probably really improve him. There's a few people that I've spoken to have just taken 4,000 IU of vitamin D, and it's literally changed their life within a few weeks. Once it starts to get processed by your liver and you get up to, say, 4 or 5 weeks, they're suddenly noticing all their aches and pains are disappearing. A friend of mine, psoriasis, had it all his life. He's now taken 8,000 IUs, completely gone. And he's been scratching and having difficult to sleep for decades. So all of a sudden, he's suddenly finding, just suddenly disappeared, because it's an immunomodulator, and it kind of, when you've got it at the proper levels, your immune system suddenly starts to work properly. But because we live in latitude, especially the Isle of Man with all the cloud, and it's not exactly been the hottest in history, has it, so far this year?
And so how much vitamin D do you take a day, Julian?
I'm on 10,000 IUs a day.
Okay.
Now,
any side effects at all?
I feel great. Absolutely amazing. I've been doing it for years. And I've had my bloods measured several times to get it to the highest level that the Endocrine Society recommend, who should be the specialists in this. So, you know, the RDA, the recommended daily allowance, is 400. However, if you actually get your bloods measured and you're on a 400, just find out. You'll probably find you're way below what you should be in reality. But, of course, nobody knows in the ordinary blood test what their level is.
Okay.
Just, you know, don't listen to me. Go find out.
Okay. All right. And I have to ask you this. Are you a medically trained person, Julian?
No, but probably 20,000 hours of diligent study. So I don't know whether that's worth it or not. I don't know. But lots and lots of research papers. And, you know, look at Dr. Michael Hollick, the grandfather of vitamin D. He actually discovered colcalciferol, which is what's written on the pot, and how it changes into calciferol, which then is the activated one that appears in your body about 4 or 5 weeks later and stays there.
Okay.
Very interesting chap to talk to. He's been down in Africa looking at blood levels in pregnant women and what the milk is given to the child and what their levels are. And, you know, they don't even know what arthritis is in the Maasai tribe. Interesting.
All right. Appreciate it, Julian. Good to talk to you.
Thanks, Andy.
Hello.
Cheers.
This is Doug Farragher. In conjunction with Manx Radio, I'd like to invite you to join us and learn something about our native Gaelic tongue, the language of man.
Do you know a scrap man? Cause I've got scrap to clear. Causing cold for breath and lead, and I need cash for beer.
What? You don't know a scrap man? Gastains of Foxhall is the one for you. Gastains will take all scrap metal and is also licensed for dry cell and lead acid batteries. So don't delay. Ring 801-337 now.
So now we know a scrap man and all our scrap's been cleared. Ring 801-337, then have cash for beer. Call Costice today and get yourself a beer.
out and about this summer, EVF service stations have everything you need to make the most of it. Hot and cold food, chilled wine and beers, barbecue essentials and more. You can even pick up your lottery tickets at our stations across the island. Fill up, fuel up with Ellen Vannin Fuels. Visit us at evf.co.im. Stocks and offers may vary between locations.
Have you been into H&H Motorcycles or been to hnhmotorcycles.im? There is everything you need, from clothing and accessories to service, repairs and tyres. Stocking the full range of RST, Race FX Enduro and motocross clothing, plus Oakley sunglasses and goggles and casual clothing. H&H are the island's Arai, Bell and AGV helmet, motor oils and quad lock distributor. Call in at South Quay Industrial Estate Douglas for a browse, coffee and a chat, or shop online with home delivery.
The race is on to help local charity Arlo's Adventure, and you can help win it. It's the KPMG Promenade Relay, Friday 12th of July along Douglas Seafront, with 100% of entry fees and sponsorship going to Arlo's Adventure, helping Manx residents needing hospital treatment in the UK and supporting bereaved families through child or pregnancy loss. Get your relay team of two, three or four people together to tackle the 10K course, or go it alone over 5K. Entries close 10th July. Visit kpmg.com/cds for details and registration. The KPMG Promenade Relay, supported by your nation station, Manx Radio.
Well, everyone agrees this year's TT coverage has been better than ever. But if you want other TT stories, the archive room is where you need to be. We've got excellent communications.
And he was feeding pennies into the slot to keep us going from those particular phone boxes.
Occasional wardrobe malfunctions.
They're absolutely dreadful things. Sweltering hot in the summer and freezing cold when you get any water on them at all.
And fixes for any kind of problem.
I grabbed some sods off the hedge, threw them in, and the fire went out.
The TT, but not necessarily as you know it. From the archive room this Thursday evening, just after 6 o'clock, here on Manx Radio. Or pick up the podcast with extra content in it, available straight after broadcast.
I don't suppose you'd allow it now.
Whoa, hang on, we can't give too much away.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
And Cliff's with us now. Hi, Cliff.
Hello there, mate.
What's on your mind?
Well, I've got MS, and I've had it for 34 years. I'm now nearly 64. And it's been getting worse the past 10 years. I've seen too many of my friends suffer with it in the last years of their lives, sort of thing, where they become bedbound and can't move, and nothing, can't get out of bed or control the bodily functions in any way whatsoever. I would like the opportunity, when the time comes that I no longer want to carry on with this, to use the assisted dying service. It won't come in England. I don't think it ever will.
But and at the moment, you're in England. You're in Leicester, is that right?
That's it. Yeah, Leicester.
Okay, so what's the mood of the assisted dying legislation in England? Because I know several people have called for it.
We get too many do-gooders that look at it that people are being coerced into doing something that they don't want to do for their benefit, for something that might be left in their will, the house or some money or cash or whatever. But if I'm compos mentis, I'm nearly 64, I've had it too many years and it's getting worse, I'm not ready to go yet. There is a place in Switzerland, there's Dignitas and a couple of other places that will take you. But I want the choice as to when I go. I don't want to be laying in bed a burden to my family. I've talked to them about it, and they've all obviously upset. But they do agree.
Cliff, you make this sound very matter of fact. You're very clear and cogent about all this. But this is such a... I mean, it is the ultimate decision, Cliff. Are you really, really sure?
Not at the minute, no, because I'm not that bad. Perhaps next year, I will be a lot worse. I mean, MS doesn't get any better. It's like MND. The Leicester rugby player we've got now suffering with MND. It won't get better. There's been no medication over 30 years for various reasons that you can't get to relieve the pain or bladder or bowel problems that I suffer from. I just want the choice. But when I want to go, when I think I've had enough, when the pain, the fatigue and all the rest of it becomes too much, I want to sort of say, well, I've had a good life, but I'm getting tired now and I don't want to be a burden. Can I please now just go and rest?
And
have a big long rest.
And what are the sort of things your family say?
Well, obviously it upset them to begin with. I mean, I told them 2 years ago because I joined Dignitas 2 years ago, but now there's another one out there. Joining Fierce Lap sort of thing, but there is another one out there that you can go to, Pegasus. But that means me travelling to Switzerland, which I don't want to do. You know, I'd sooner have the right in my own country to say, look, please, I've had enough now. My arms won't move, my legs don't work, my bodily functions don't work. You know, I don't want to be laying in bed, you know, having problems with water and going toilet and all that kind of thing, which I've seen too many of my friends suffer from. And I've looked at them and they've had tears in their eyes. You know, so it's hard, right? If I sit and make a video stating, like I'm stating now, that I'm compos mentis, I'm not being coerced into it by family because they're going to get me house or I'm going to be leaving them something, you know what I mean? I don't see a problem with it, but we get too many, not do-gooders, that's a nasty word, too many people, particularly religious people, oh no, you can't do that. But they're not in the situation that I'm in. They're not in the situation that Doddy Weir, the rugby player, was in. Or Rob Burrows, who's just passed away with MND, which is worse than MS. They're not in the situation, they're not in the pain and all the rest of it, what I've just spoke about.
Cliff, I can't say anything. I can't say anything because this is such a personal...
Well, say you agree. How about saying you agree with me? That'd be nice, because it gives me end of line closure that I'm not doing something. I've not got to go to Switzerland with a friend who's then going to have to face some sort of police charges when they get back. I'm not being coerced. I'm doing it of my own. Willing. I've had a good life at 64, but I don't want the last years of my life to be absolute hell.
Cliff, you've made your case perfectly clear. When I say I've got nothing to say, it's just that as host of the programme, I don't have an opinion. I don't have an opinion either way. So yeah. Everybody has, you know, the listeners have their opinions, the people who correspond with us. But that's, with the response we've had while you've been on air is very, very powerful, Cliff, and we appreciate you calling. Thanks.
If it comes in on the Isle of Man, it will only be for the Isle of Man residents, won't it?
You have to live here five... Yeah, people have had to live here 5 years because they that's the way
it did. When it was first muted that it was going to become legal there, it did. I had a sense of hope. Oh, blimey, it's somewhere nearer.
So if you'd been allowed, you would have come to the Isle of Man to end your life.
Yes, almost definitely, 110%. Because people don't see the suffering that people like me and the other 100,000 people in this country with MS or MND or cancer or some other, you know, illnesses sort of thing have to go through at night time. You know, I was an active guy. I was a lorry driver. I used to race stock cars. I won 89 trophies. I did all work in the house with my dad, you know, the building and stuff, you know. And when that's taken away from you, you know, I've got so much fatigue now. I mean, I can't even change a light bulb or a plug or anything like that. It's demoralizing. But I would like the chance, when I have it, when it mentally I have had enough, to say, right, this is it. This is the week I want to end it. Give me a week to make sure I'm not going to change my mind, and let's just smile at me, hold my eye and say thank you very much, and let me go and have a good long rest.
All right. Cliff, thanks for calling us today. We appreciate it.
That's a great show you've got. Thank you.
Thanks for calling today. It's 1:45 on Manx Radio. Peter's on with us now. Hi, Peter.
Oh, hello, Andy. It's Peter Murcott here. I just want to pick up something that you said a little bit earlier on, that you as presenter were just simply presenting some of the arguments you use about those who are against the assisted dying bill are really sort of in favour, I suppose, of the nanny state, you know. And we hear an awful lot about people and it's my choice. I think there's a very simple point to be understood on that one, and I've heard it said time again, it's my choice, my choice, my choice. Society is never quite as simple as that, because we are interrelated and we are not just islands. We're not living on a desert island. We are part of a wider society that's very closely connected with one another. And there are very many things, there are many consequences that are not immediately apparent when you talk about the my choice. I remember when I was living in the United Kingdom, the debate that went on, for example, about crash helmets. And it was said that was the nanny state, and should we tell people who are riding motorbikes they've got to have crash helmets? And there was quite a lot about, well, if they choose to put their lives at risk, well, therefore, shouldn't they be allowed to do so? And yet we've got legislation, and it came to the Isle of Man, of course. We had exactly the same thing on seatbelts. I remember that one being said. And if people choose to drive the car just without wearing a seatbelt and run the risk of some serious injury, then, well, that's their choice, you see. So what I'm saying is that if you're going to start basing our legislation on choice, then logically you're going to find that there'll be quite a lot of legislation that you'll have to start questioning in due course. For example, we've got legislation I see in the shops about it's illegal to sell tobacco products to anybody under 18. And so therefore, we ask ourselves, well, why are they not allowed to buy it? Why shouldn't they have the choice to be able to buy it? And so on. And so you can expand this argument ad infinitum. And so I think that those who keep using this, and I do hear them, the ones who are in front, who are in favour of this, they make huge emphasis on choice. They must understand that if they're going to establish that as the guiding principle in legislation, then there's a lot of other legislation that just has to go, because that breaks the choice rule as well, some of which I've just identified. So the difficulty is all the time when you're discussing this, and you know it's been discussed ad infinitum on the airwaves of Manx Radio, and I think every argument has been used, that in a complex society, it is never as simple as some people seem to try and make it, and especially the people who are pushing the choice syndrome. It is just not as simple as that. It will have a wider effect on the medical profession, and it'll have a wider effect on people as well. And I remember the late Roger Watterson, when we discussed this 20 years ago, we had a program on Manx Radio in which I took part, and I've still got a transcript of it. And I remember Roger was putting it over very neutrally. He was giving both sides. And I remember one of the sides that he put over, and he did put over fairly both arguments. He said that the right to die can soon become a duty to die. And he floated that argument. And that's very true of what it can certainly happen. And Julian's given you one or two instances of where that is getting perilously close. And he's shown with some of the very very good illustrations that he's given of how this can gallop out of control. I wonder if I could just make one other point. I've got to make this point, and Julian actually has made it really very, very well when he talked about Ireland. I think one point that needs to be understood by the populace, and I'll keep repeating it until it is understood, there is no such thing as entrenched legislation. There is nothing in the assisted dying bill, there's no clause in it that says it can't be altered. I ought to know, because I've got the bill and I've read it and I've addressed more than one group of people about it. If it was there, I would have seen it. And the reason why it isn't there is because it is not constitutionally possible to put a clause like that into a bill. And if you do put it in, it can be ignored, because the Constitution is that Parliament cannot bind its successors, and you cannot tell a future legislature of things that they can't change. And that was tested really with the European Union. Some people thought we could never get out of Europe. We'd burnt our boats, but we did get out of Europe. And as Julian's illustrated, in 1801, they said that Britain and Ireland were united forever. Well, they weren't, and he's given you chapter and verse of where they weren't united forever. So if we can just get that point across so that people don't get these misconceptions of what this law can do, and it can have all these ferocious safeguards that can't be altered, that is, I'm sorry to say, for anyone who's misled by that, that is just pure legal nonsense.
Okay. All right. Okay, we appreciate that. Yep, thanks for making the point. Good to hear from you. Thank you, Peter.
Hi, it's Connor Cummins here. I'd just like to wish Manx Radio a very happy 60th birthday.
We interrupt this broadcast to inform all our listeners about the huge range of bathrooms and showers on display at Pacesetter. Yes, you all know that Pacesetter is known as the island's largest tile store, but I'm here to tell you that their bathroom displays are truly inspirational. Visit Pacesetter on Harris Terrace, where you'll discover a fabulous collection of stylish bathrooms. There's something to suit everyone, with design available. Pacesetter bathrooms and showers to show off about.
Oh, I don't believe it.
Don't believe what?
A small stone just flew off and shattered the conservatory window.
Oh, no problem. I'll call out Manx Glass and Glazing.
Can they fix it?
Yeah. Mum's glass shattered and they soon replaced it.
Manx Glass and Glazing don't just do the big jobs. Visit Snugborough Trading Estate for all your glazing supplies and repairs, including broken or failed double glazed units, along with good old-fashioned customer service and product knowledge.
Manx Glass and Glazing. You're smashing.
We'll gather here today.
All her friends thought Kerry was going to be a right bridezilla. She was so determined that everything had to be totally perfect. But they needn't have worried, because Cornister Bank had Kerry's back.
Do you, Kerry, have the Cornister feeling?
I so do.
Wedding finance with a three-month honeymoon period before payments start. Visit cornisterbank.co.im and you can get the Cornister feeling too. All loans are subject to status. Terms and conditions apply. Early settlement fees apply.
Tonight here on Manx Radio at 6 o'clock, join Kiri Kermode and myself, Simon Carr, for Countryside.
We hear from some of the children that attended Open Farm Sunday, along with the commentator Michael Taggart.
And I went along to the Poor Little Jerby exhibition, which has been held at Jerby Parish Church. I spoke to Sandra Carrison, tell me all the stories about life before and after the RAF station was built.
That's all in Countryside tonight here on Manx Radio at 6 o'clock. And don't forget, you can download and subscribe to the podcast for free at maxradio.com.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Pastor May, good afternoon. Thanks to Paddy, dropped a note in just to say when the Managing Director of Manx Development Corporation was talking about his brief, what about the dereliction around Douglas? What about the Newsons site? On your programme, apparently, didn't the people who own Newsons offer it free to the government? I would have thought the Manx Development Corporation would have snapped their arm off taking up the offer of a free property to develop on Douglas Quayside. So presumably Manx Development Corporation will, that's free property, says Paddy. Well, apparently so. We have a food bank, says Neil in Douglas. We have housing and a cost of living crisis, but the bishop's vote is getting the attention of our MHKs. I think it's absolutely shameful. Getting rid of the bishop, the movement in government, is another attack on our heritage. The title of bishop and soda and man is unique to the Isle of Man and should be kept, says Dewham. And who looks after the grass verges up by the Horse and Plough, as they haven't been cut yet this year? The grass is 2 feet high. It used to have a big wild flower bed and short grass. Now it's got nothing but 2 foot high grass. I agree on the blue badge parking at the TT grandstand, says Peter. Ridiculous distance away. I had to park far better in previous years. It needs sorting out before MGP. And John said Douglas councillors are giving themselves self-praise regarding the two weekly bin collections and the car park at the grandstand. I think they may find at the next elections their self-praise is misplaced. please, why no ANPR parking system at the airport, as the council already uses that at the bottleneck car park? Is that so? ANPR, automatic number plate recognition, that is. Easy peasy. Texter 667 says, probably no commission involved. If you have an electric car, to charge it up, the new smart meters won't work when they put the electric port in to charge the car. They have to charge the smart meter suit. There's clever for you, says Richard. And Kerry said, regarding that Kurt Michael butcher, he's naive if he thinks he'll get his orders fulfilled from the UK, as there's a shortage of pork over there, and I hope they will state the year of origin. Oh, and by the way, as well as Kate Law Brennan and Tim Crookall being on Man in Line on Friday, they'll be live in person at upstairs at Green's Cafe in St John's from 10 to midday on Saturday for the Glenn Faber and Peel surgery. That's it. Thanks to Howie on the phones today.
W-I-N-T.
It's coming to the Isle of Man, and it's gold through and through. Gold never fades. Gold shines. Pure gold. Dreams unfold.